The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you know the attitude around here on Mondays. It's not just a depressing Monday. You know, I know it's kind of exciting that the Saints won, but, you know, sometimes you're down on a Monday. You know, the weekend was nice and you got a long week ahead of you. Some people get down on Mondays, but we don't want that to happen, man. We want Monday to be a day that you live life. And think about the recent passing of Eric Paulson. You know, you don't know. So live every day. Even live Mondays, even though they might seem kind of boring, just have a better attitude and make it a good day. Because the only thing that makes Monday boring is your attitude. So just try to have a good attitude on a Monday. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us. Yes, the Saints won. The LSU didn't. Tulane won. Tulane's in the top 25, 8-2, the number 25 in the country. And there were some real upsets. I loved watching Ole Miss beat Georgia. Ole Miss is 8-2, number 10 in the country. Georgia dropped to number 11. And Georgia Tech beat Miami. That kicked butt. I don't know why. I just don't like Miami. Miami 9-1 now. They were undefeated before. Indiana remains undefeated. They beat Michigan 20-15. Penn State beat Washington 8-1. Penn State's number 4 in the country. You know, I would love to be the team that plays Penn State in the playoffs, because I don't think Penn State can win the big game. I don't know what it is about that team, but they just can't seem to win the big game. Texas number 3, they won. Ohio State beat Purdue. They're number 2. Oregon continues to be undefeated, 10-0. They beat Maryland over the weekend. Tennessee won. They're 8-1, number 6 in the country. And BYU, undefeated, 9-0. They beat Utah, a big rivalry there, 22-21. And I'm surprised. So BYU is number 7 in the country. I said this the other day. I'm surprised that BYU doesn't consistently do better, because their players collectively are older than the other college players. Because the BYU students, you know, Mormons, they give up like 2 years of their life to do missionary work. So they enter college later. So BYU's football team is generally 2 years older than the teams that they're playing. So I'm kind of surprised that, you know, being older, that maybe they don't, I'm surprised they don't have a better team more often. Boise State is there, 8-1, number 13. So, yeah, I think the college playoffs coming up are going to be exciting. And what about that Sunday night game last night? Wow, that was awesome. Detroit came back to beat the Texans 26-23. The Texans looked like they were just wiping the field with the Lions. And the Lions came back and won it 26-23. The Eagles beat the Cowboys 34-6. I would hate to be in Jerry's house right now. And the Cardinals beat the Jets 31-6. And Jets fans are telling Aaron Rodgers to retire. You know, Aaron Rodgers became kind of an a-hole with politics and everything. And so, you know, if he kind of goes down in flames, I don't care. I'm okay with that. A great quarterback. He'll be in the Hall of Fame, but I'm okay if he goes down in flames. And the 49ers beat the Bucs 23-20. So there were some really big games. I'm not sad when Sean Payton and the Broncos lose and the Chiefs beat them. It was a wild game, but the Chiefs beat the Broncos 16-14 yesterday. And this was another huge game. The Ravens beat the Bengals 35-34. So some exciting games. The most exciting game was the Saints game, because the Saints won it. I'm Scoot on the air. It's Manic Monday. We've got a lot to talk about. If you're on hold, stay with us. It's also Veterans Day. If you want us to give a shout out to a veteran in your life, or to you if you're a veteran, just give us the name and the branch of the military, maybe the years that they were in, whatever information you want to give us. Why don't you just text us that information? And we're going to do some shout outs to some veterans today. The Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, just send us a text, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. And also, we have more bumper music scheduled for Veterans Day today. All right, so for the first in what is sure to be one of the more controversial appointments in the Trump White House was announced earlier this morning.
An immigration hardliner who served as a White House aide in the 2016 term has been appointed to a new position in the new Trump administration.
Send the illegals back home.
Stephen Miller will be Donald Trump's deputy chief of policy. Miller was a central figure in previous policy decisions, including the separation of migrant children from their families in 2018. Campaigning with Trump in Colorado last month, Miller blamed the Democrats for an influx.
We don't need migrants consuming and depleting our public resources, overwhelming our public schools, overwhelming our hospitals, taking over our apartment buildings, and yes, murdering innocent Americans.
Since leaving the White House in 2021, Miller led the America First legal organization. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Yeah, Stephen Miller is the poster boy for white supremacy. We never have to worry, ever have to worry about him having a heart attack because he doesn't have one. President-elect Donald Trump also named his border czar.
President-elect Donald Trump has named Tom Homan as the border czar in Trump's incoming administration. Homan served as acting U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director in Trump's previous administration. Trump has pledged to launch the largest deportation operation in U.S. history. He wrote on his Truth Social site on Sunday that in addition to Homan's overseeing the southern and northern borders and maritime and aviation security, he'll be in charge of, quote, all deportation of illegal aliens back to the country of origin, end quote. In an interview on Fox News Channel, Homan said the military would not be rounding up and arresting people in the U.S. illegally, but that ICE would move to implement Trump's plans in a, quote, humane manner, end quote. I'm Donna Water.
And for the record, contrary to what conservative media convinced many of you of, the country has never had a border czar. The media nicknamed Kamala Harris border czar when President Biden put her in touch with or in charge of going to other countries and finding out what it would take to make things better there so they all don't feel the need to come here. But she was never appointed border czar, and there has never been a border czar that I know of until now. We just want to set the record straight on that. Also, President-elect Donald Trump has also named his pick for UN ambassador.
President-elect Trump makes his pick for UN ambassador. Calling her a smart America First fighter, President-elect Trump has picked a New York congresswoman to serve as his ambassador to the United Nations. It's Elise Stefanik, who spoke at the GOP convention this summer in Milwaukee.
It is clear for the whole world to see nothing. Absolutely nothing will stop President Trump from standing and fighting for our great country.
Stefanik, who's 40, has long been one of Trump's most loyal allies in the House and was among those discussed as a potential vice presidential choice. I'm Shelley Adler.
And also, Republican leaders are ready to help Donald Trump hit the ground running.
Donald Trump and legislative leaders are getting ready for his first day in office.
On day one, I will launch the largest deportation program in American history.
On the campaign trail, Donald Trump suggested using executive orders to remove migrants in the country without authorization. Republican Senator John Barrasso on NBC's Meet the Press says that's among the top priorities.
The high costs and the open border. And those are the things we're going to start working on immediately.
Government staffing and spending cuts are also on the agenda.
We continue to spend too much. The government is too big. Yeah. It does too much.
Trump is pressuring Republican Senate leaders to change the rules to allow him to appoint some nominees without Senate confirmation. Ooh. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Oh, that's kind of scary.
Not super Democratic, is it?
That is kind of scary.
Now, look,
yeah.
they're talking about recess appointments, which happen, you know, yeah. with every administration. But what he's asking for is all recess appointments. He does not want to have to anybody in his cabinet, his judges. He doesn't want them to have to get Senate approval at all. He's asking for permission to do the entire thing without Senate approval.
And let me mention, that is more fascism than it is democracy. Just wanted to mention that. Donald Trump's criminal charges in the election interference and insurrection case and the Classified Documents Espionage Act Obstruction of Justice case, they're on their last legs and headed for the dustbin of history.
U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan has canceled any remaining court deadlines in Donald Trump's 2020 election interference case. This comes after prosecutors said they need time to assess the appropriate course. The Supreme Court sent the case back to Chutkan to determine which of the allegations in the indictment can move forward. A person familiar with the matter told the Associated Press that given Trump's presidential victory and the Justice Department's policy that sitting presidents can't be prosecuted, Jack Smith's team are winding down the case and the stalled classified documents case under appeal in Florida. Trump has criticized both cases as politically motivated and has said he would fire Jack Smith within 2 seconds of taking office. Judge Chutkan ordered prosecutors to file with their proposed course by December 2nd. Jennifer King, Washington.
Biden and Harris are going to appear together for the first time since Trump's blowout victory that left the Democrats in the White House saying WTF.
President Joe Biden was at Arlington National Cemetery for the annual Veterans Day observance.
It's been the greatest honor of my life.
President Joe Biden speaking for the last time as Commander-in-Chief on Veterans Day at Arlington National Cemetery.
We stand here today. We think about all that our veterans have given to our nation, serving and sacrificing in uniform, just as they serve and sacrifice here at home.
And he had this message for military families.
Jill and I want you to know we see you, we thank you, and we'll never stop working to meet our sacred obligation to you and your family.
I'm Shelley Adler.
On Meet the Press over the weekend, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders says the election shows that the Democratic Party failed to address the concerns of most American voters.
They have a right to be angry. In the richest country in the history of the world, today the people on top are doing phenomenally well, while 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, and millions of families worry that their kids are actually going to have a lower standard of living than they do.
The control of the U.S. Congress is still hanging in the balance.
The vote tallies aren't completed yet from last week's election, leaving it unclear which party will control Congress. More than a dozen congressional campaign contests are still not decided, leaving control of the House of Representatives a toss-up at this point. Republican leaders are projecting they will keep control, but Democrats say if more votes go in their favor, they could become the majority party. Republicans did win control of the Senate, and Republican Donald Trump will be in the White House next year. He's urging the senators vying for majority leader to change the rules and allow him to bypass congressional approval and outright appoint some of his nominees. I'm Jackie Quinn.
And that's it for Scoot's News Briefs on Monday, November the 11th, 2024. So should Joe Biden resign, like now, and make Kamala Harris the president until Donald Trump becomes inaugurated January 20th? Joe Biden could resign and Kamala Harris could be president for a brief period of time. She would be the first woman to ever be president, the first woman of color ever to be president. Is that a good idea? Jamal Simmons, former Vice President Kamala Harris's communications director, is calling on Joe Biden to resign and make Kamala Harris president within the next month. He said that on the State of the Union on CNN yesterday morning. So what do you think about that idea? Kamala Harris would just end up being president. At least it would give her a chance to be president for a brief period of time. I think that's a terrible idea. A terrible idea. It it feeds into the concept of entitlement. She didn't win. I'm sorry for those of you who supported her, but she didn't win. And she doesn't deserve to be president, even for a month. She didn't win. She doesn't deserve it. And this would be a mockery of the election if Joe Biden resigned, and let Kamala Harris be president for a month or so. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We're coming back with more of your calls and more of your text. And we're also remembering all of the veterans today on Veterans Day. And if you want us to shout out to a veteran, just give us the name and the branch of the military. If you want to give us any more information, do that. We're going to do some shout outs to veterans today on Veterans Day. This was an interesting song, and this is one of those songs that I remember hearing on my transistor radio walking around the mean streets of Metairie when I was a young teenager. This was a song that was on the radio quite often. It's a song about a woman singing to her boyfriend who's in the military, and the song is about how she's going to be faithful to him all the time that he's away in the military. The Shirelles had many hits. This was one of their big hits from the 60s, Soldier Boy, about being faithful to somebody who's in the military. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WW.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hey, how about that Rizzy? How about that Rizzy? How about the passion? How about a head coach that shows emotion and passion? Wow, what a change. Did you see Rizzy react to the players? Did you see the players react to Rizzy? And the players were talking about this afterwards. The very thing that I've been talking about on this show concerning the calm demeanor of Dennis Allen, the players were saying that this is what Rizzy brought to the team, this excitement, this enthusiasm, this passion, this emotion. That's something that's been missing, and the players were not reacting to Dennis Allen. They reacted to Rizzy. Now, look, Rizzy's not going to necessarily go undefeated the rest of the season. I hope he does. Cleveland's up next. They're a talented team. But, you know, Alvin, as great a game as you had, you got to catch that pass. Cam Jordan got his first sack. 10 games into the season, 8 games left in the third quarter. 8 minutes left in the third quarter, he got his first sack of the season. Tyrann Mathieu, who had been the honey bun all game, he didn't want to really tackle anybody. Comes up with a great, great interception. So there were some really positive things. All right, before we get to your calls and texts, we've got to get to some of these text shout-outs to veterans today on Veterans Day. Ian Hoke has got a few to share with you.
There are a lot of them, and so I don't mean to rush through these because I know these are important to people, but we do have to watch the clock, so I might kind of snip a few words out of these texts just to get the names out there, and I don't mean any offense to anybody. Here's Colonel Philip Thieler, Desert Storm, Staff Sergeant Christopher Wilbur, KIA in Afghanistan. My aunt, Ruby June Brackett, was a wave in the Navy. Warren Smokey Muntz, U.S. Army 81st. Warren Muntz, born and raised in La Place. Gordon Walsdorf, Shipmate 3 class on the USS Franklin D. Roosevelt in the Navy. My father, Sergeant Billy Ortiz, Vietnam veteran, lost him 4 years ago. He was 82 years old. My hero, Oscar from the North Shore. Bobby Guillory, Vietnam, 1967, 1995, U.S. Air Force. My son, Evan Eaton, U.S. Army, 2007-2013, in Mosul, returned safely home and got a bachelor's degree from Tulane. He's a successful Amazon executive. Thank you, Evan Eaton. My dad, Serino J. Urata, U.S. Navy veteran. He is 92 years old today. Corporal Casey Jones, USMC, 2006-2010, Camp Lejeune. I had the same job as J.D. Vance, combat correspondent. Cool. Let's see. Chris Tirico, Frank Tirico, Ron Cagle, Robert Caillou, James Miller, Ron Howard, Ron Fantineau. And I'll just get a couple more of these. Yes, our friend PJ is listening today. He says, thank you for recognizing veterans with or without combat service. My wife and I are both vets, 31 years, still serving. Serving, I should say. Lori's been in the Air Force 4 years. Thank you for your support. Herschel Blanchard, World War II, 98 years, alive and well. Thank you, Herschel. Jim Mendoza, Vietnam, 1964 to 1965 in the Marines. My dad, Royal G. Ori, in the Korean War, served 2 years, two more in the reserves, was a medic, passed in 2015. Salute. I will leave you with this one right now, Scoot. Hi, Scoot. Love you. Here's my tribute to all veterans on this special day. My husband, Jim, died on active duty 24 years ago. I am still so honored to sing for this and him and all military veterans and their families.
I'm glad we got to mention so many names. Really good job with that, Ian. And thank you all for sending those in. And I want to say a tribute to my dad, Lieutenant Ken Paysant, U.S. Navy pilot. Got his wings in Pensacola and was in the Navy Reserve flying out of Belchase Naval Air Station.
If you didn't hear, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to say, if you didn't hear your shout out just now, be rest assured, I have it pulled aside and we will read it later.
Okay, let's go to Terry in Slidell. Terry, welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. How you doing?
Good.
Can you hear me, Scoot?
Yes.
I'd like to shout out for my father-in-law, Mr. Ulysses Melanson. He was in World War II. He was at Omaha Beach, and my daddy was in Walter R. Fontenot was at Ewell.
So cool.
That's a shout out to, they're not here anymore, but they were both in World War II.
Cool.
My question is this: I want to hear how can you these people answer? How are you losing your democracy? First of all, if you don't like who's in office in 2 years, you vote them out. In 4 years, you vote out the president, and the new president will be in 4 years because Trump is going to have to go because, you know, he's term limited. And even his own party is not going to let him go past 4 years. And if he did, I voted for him, and I will not vote. I mean, I will be protest against that also. And if you don't like the senators, you vote them out in 6 years. Well, in Louisiana, whoever got elected this time as a representative, in 2 years, hey, they're going to be back in office again because they ain't going to get voted out because it's going to be the same people. In Orleans Parish and that, they're going to vote for Troy, whatever his name, the guy in his district. Nobody's going to vote out Steve Scalise in my district.
Right, right.
Nobody's going to vote out Cleo Fields in his district. It's the same. You're not losing. How are you losing your democracy? If you don't like who won, then in 4 years you vote somebody else in.
Well,
Joe Biden, we didn't like Joe Biden, and they voted somebody else in. How are you losing your democracy? Even... We haven't lost it yet.
We kind of throw words around. You know, we're not truly a democracy. We're a democratic republic, I guess you could say. We're a republic, okay. But we have, you know, democracy is our form of government. It's sort of translated from republic to democracy. We all know what that means. We have freedoms. And so I think a lot of times people relate democracy with the word freedom. And we might lose our freedom. We might not lose democracy. But if we lose freedom, then I think we lose a form of democracy. And I'm curious and I'm concerned. I'm not going to, you know, get upset about it until it happens. But I'm concerned that Donald Trump may follow through on retaliating against people who simply disagree with him and might use the FCC to do it. And that would be just a total threat to our freedom and our republic form of government.
Isn't that what Tim Walz wanted to do? Tim Walz wanted to do the same thing. He said all the conservative speeches, you know, hate speeches, they need to curtail that. Well, First Amendment rights.
Well, it depends on the degree of the hate speech. I'm not defending what Tim Walz said. I don't remember him saying that. But Donald Trump is going to be the president of the United States. And there's already talk about positioning the FCC to retaliate against broadcasters where people disagreed with him.
He's wrong doing that. That's un-American. I don't care if you give. But, Scoot, before I leave, I've got one thing to say. All these women who are shaving their heads because Trump lost, that's an insult to all the poor ladies who had breast cancer, who had to lose their hair, not because they wanted to, because they had to with their chemotherapy. Did these women think about saving that hair before it hit the ground and giving it to, I can't remember the name, but hair something where they save the hair and they make wigs for these ladies? I don't think they did. And that's an insult to all ladies, even men who had cancer, who lost their hair because something that they was wrong with them. Not, that these people had nothing wrong with them.
Yeah, I understand the point. I don't know. When you do things in a protest, I'm not sure that you're thinking about everybody who might benefit from your hair. You just do that in protest. Terry, I understand the point that you're making. People protest in different ways, and people have a right to protest, but you can also make the comment that it's an insult to people who have lost their hair because they're going through chemotherapy. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We're coming back with more of your comments. The Oak and Hart Jewelers Talking Text line is 504-260-1870. We're also celebrating Veterans Day, and we thank all the veterans for all that they have done and are doing for us. And today is a day to celebrate all veterans, not just those who were deployed, not just those who died serving our country, but all veterans. I personally thank all of you for what you did and for what you're doing, because you protect our right to freedom of speech. You protect what I do for a living, and I appreciate all of you, even if we don't agree politically. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Today on Veterans Day, we just give a shout out to all the veterans, and we hopefully take time to think about what veterans have done and continue to do for us in this country. And I remind you that you can download the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, download the Odyssey app. It's free. And with the Odyssey app, you can rewind this show. If you're on, or if you hear something that you want to hear again, you can rewind it. You can listen to the whole show again. You can listen to 1 hour, or you can listen to just the highlights. And Ian Hoke does a really great job posting all of that stuff on the Odyssey app. So check that out. Download the Odyssey app and just follow Scoot. And you can, again, listen to the highlights of our show. It's a really good part of the show. Coming up, we'll talk about the ratings for the cable news and networks. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Ronnie in Memphis. Ronnie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, man, I love your show, Scoot. I'm okay. I got to give you praise, man. You about as fair. And I go all over the country, Scoot. I'm a trucker. I used to live in New Orleans because Katrina got me up there in Memphis now. So, Scoot, I'm going to talk about LSU just for a second, if you will.
Okay.
Scoot, look, man, I played ball. Actually, I played for St. Augustine back in the day with Otis Washington, back when we were powerful back in the day. But let me tell you something. What's wrong with LSU is two things. The SEC, Scoot, is the best football in the country when it comes to college. All those defenses are quick. They are quick as lightning. They're quick, they're fast, and strong. What's wrong with LSU? Now, I like Nuss. He's a good quarterback. But, Scoot, the problem is this. You've got to be two-tier now. And what Alabama did, again, I paid strong safety. The defensive coordinator, they know this guy is not a runner. But what they're doing, Scoot, you watch them, all of them. They stuck in that line of scrimmage. The linebackers are playing up the line because we know this guy cannot run. Well, this way, he hadn't shown nothing like most two-tier quarterbacks do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got a strong safety. He's playing over the top. Your corners are playing man, and they bumping up the line of scrimmage. And what they're doing, they stack in that line. They're coming from every angle at this guy. They know he's not mobile. And Scoot, unless LSU go back to the Jaden Daniels, no matter who he is, they'll never win another time this year. Now, you look at all the teams in the top 10, Scoot, in the top 10, I promise you, the majority of them are going to have a two-tier quarterback that can ruin. And that's what happens. Mm-hmm. You keep the defense honest. That the linebackers will not play at the line of scrimmage. But they miss all. See what happened? Again, Nuss is a good quarterback, Scoot. Check this. But what happened again? They missing on him. He's panicking. I've seen him several times. He can run for 10 yards. Those linebackers hit like a mule. He don't want to get hit a couple of times. He got hit a couple of times when they played against Texas A&M. He said, oh, a little more of that. And you see what Texas A&M did? When they saw that drop-back quarterback David Bagdell, even in NFL, getting away from the scheme.
Yep, yep.
They're getting away from the pocket passer these days. They've gone to a mobile quarterback, and in the next, 10, 15 years, the majority of the quarterbacks in the NFL will be mobile quarterbacks. That's all I got to say, Scoot. Thank you, man.
Listen, Ronnie, you said a lot. Really great expertise, comment, and thanks for listening to the show in Memphis. Let's go to Ken in Metairie. Hey, Ken, welcome to our show.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing? I just wanted to clarify something. I think that people have a misconception about tariffs. Tariffs are generally targeted in nature to certain industries or certain manufacturers where, let's say, the Chinese, because of their slave labor, so to speak, are cutting into or taking away sales of that manufacturer. And I got a good example for you. I got a buddy down in Grand Isle, and he's selling his shrimp boat. And I was like, well, why is it that stuff? I cannot compete with the Chinese shrimp. So to me, the answer there would be put a tariff on the Chinese shrimp so that our shrimpers down here can make a living and sell shrimp at a reasonable profit.
Yeah, look,
it goes like that across the board. Now, that's number one. Number two is you don't actually have to put the tariff on. It's the threat of putting a tariff on that negotiates the fair trade. Like, he may never put one tariff on anything, but the Chinese will have to come to the negotiating table.
Well, let's see what happens. I hope you're right, Ken, because, you know, Steve Madden is now, they do a lot of production in China, and my Steve Madden shoes are already costing me a lot of money. I don't want them to cost any more, but the price, if there's tariffs on Steve Madden shoes, hey, they might go up. Let's go to Carlos. Carlos, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
I'm great.
This is Carlos.
Hey, Carlos.
Carlos, the one that I've spoken with you many a times at the French Quarter Fest. And on,
oh, yes, I remember you.
You doing okay?
I'm doing good.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. I just want to just make a small comment in reference to my brothers and sisters in uniform. Wherever they are, wherever they may be, I just want to say thank you so very much. Remember that I served for 30 years with the United States Army plus two other branches of the federal government, law enforcement. So, you know, thank you so very much for dedicating this program this afternoon to veterans. I think that that's very, very kind of you and of course, of WWL. So go Army, go Marines, go Navy, go Coast Guard, and go Air Force. Fly All right. high. Military Day, Veterans Day. God bless.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your service to our country. All right, we're going to get back to more of your calls and more of your text messages on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. On this day in 2008, she was 18 years old. Taylor Swift released her second album titled Fearless. This was one of the songs on it. It sold over 10 million copies in America alone. At the age of 18, Taylor Swift was becoming a superstar. And she was at that Kansas City game yesterday, and Travis Kelce set a record with the he passed Tony Gonzalez as the tight end with the most catches. Look, he's a great player, and I think he's inspired by her in the stands. So after the game, do they go to her hotel suite? Do they go back to his house? I mean, where do they go after the game?
IHOP.
I don't know. IHOP, right.
Just a guess.
All right, hang on. We're going to be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in 1972. Barry Oakley, the bass player for the Allman Brothers, died after his motorcycle crashed in Macon, Georgia. Barry was 24 years old. Interestingly, the accident happened three blocks from the same site where Dwayne Allman was fatally killed in a motorcycle crash a year earlier. How freaky is that? Man, those Allman Brothers just should not have gotten on motorcycles. All right, coming up, we will talk about the ratings for the cable news networks election night and after. And an NFL star was fined over $10,000 for wearing a MAGA hat during a post-game interview. Now, you might like the MAGA hat, but how do you feel about a player bringing politics into the NFL? I'm against it. I don't think there's anything wrong with this fine here. And he knew what the rules were. He could probably afford the fine, but you still shouldn't do that, right? We'll be right back.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.